Greetings, Apropossi, and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Yay! Woo! And special drinks.
I don't know. Mine's not that special. It's not like, you know, 100-year-old scotch or anything, but I am drinking one of the wines from my wine boxes.
Yeah.
Not boxed wine though.
Are you just daft?
Wine that, huh?
Boxed wine? Are you daft?
God damn it. No, it's wine that came to me in a bottle in a box that had other bottles in that box. It was wine
in
that
a
was
chest, in a trunk. In a bag.
And the bog down in the valley, oh.
Right.
In the hole in the middle of the sea.
And in that bottle, there was a cork.
So I'm drinking a Pinot Noir from Oregon called Scott Kelly. I spent the summers of my youth fly fishing for steelhead, whatever.
Is this a recipe on the internet?
Right.
Exactly.
When I returned from Nepal, I decided that
blah,
blah, blah, blah, glug, glug, glug.
It doesn't even really say anything about tasting notes or anything like that. Oh, wait.
Taste of wine, sir.
Apparently fermented in oak. So that's cool.
That is cool.
Complex aromas and elegance, blah, blah, blah.
I have my doubts. Yeah,
oak is the only thing I've been told.
Oh.
So I'm going to sip this.
And how is it?
That's pretty good.
Right.
I can definitely taste the oak. And it tastes like a Pinot Noir. There's a little touch of fruitiness to it. But like, it's not hit you in the face. It's kind of a back end fruity. Kind of like a...
This is my nickname in high school.
Back end fruity.
Huh.
Okay.
It's a great stripper name, James.
Thanks.
Yeah, that really is. I like it. It's not super powerful. It's not, I don't know. A lot of these wines are just decent wines that I've been drinking. None of them have been bad. None of them have been like, oh my God, I need to go get 18 million of these.
Sure.
They're fine.
I mean,
it's fine.
I don't see a problem with having just drinkable wine.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm fine with it. It is a fine wine.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, okay, I deserve
feel,
it.
James? No. How does it feel?
Well, I think I'm way on the opposite end of the spectrum, because I am drinking a Pump House Stout by Thirsty Pagan.
Huh.
I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I had designed a glass up.
What does it say? Thirsty Pagan's up north, yeah?
Yep, in Superior, Wisconsin, just across the bay from Duluth there. And,
cool.
I had told my sister-in-law and her husband about making glasses, and they were like, oh, cool. So they made glasses for themselves as well. And
then nice.
They drove up to get theirs. While they were up there, I sent a couple of my growlers with them, and they brought beer back for me. So
very nice.
Sounds like a great trade.
Oh yeah, it's a fantastic system. Whenever my wife and I we go to, you know, up north, they give us their growlers and we fill them up, and then other way around. When they go up north, we give them our growlers, so that everybody has always got beer.
It's a great beer karma exchange system.
But they returned my growler my Thirsty Pagan growler with beer inside, and that was the Pump House Stout. And it is dark and thick and beautiful.
I had a date like that once.
Yeah. James?
I am drinking...
God, I hope so.
From Headflyer Brewing, their Peanut Butter Chocolate Factory Chocolate Pastry Stout. Look how gorgeous this can is.
It's not pastry?
It might be pastry, but it doesn't seem expensive enough for that.
Okay.
Yeah. Dragging up the pastry. All right.
That was horrible, right. But I like it.
We're gonna give this a try here. It's just a...
Yeah?
Yeah, it's very different from what I would expect from a peanut butter chocolate stout.
Does it taste like peanut butter and chocolate? Like, I feel like we should be able to expect that.
Yeah, if it doesn't taste like a Reese's peanut butter cup, then I'm disappointed.
Well, it tastes like a brown ale mixed with a peanut butter chocolate stout.
So it doesn't taste like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
No, it... Well, it tastes like a Reese's peanut butter cup that has been in a glass of Newcastle.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
That is unstout-like.
Not unpleasant, but just... It doesn't have... Okay. I think I know what it is that is different.
Okay.
It doesn't have the traditional, like, stout heartiness to it. And you expect it to be kind of, you know, kind of dummy thick and fucking stout. You expect it to have, I don't know,
some weight?
Some weight to the flavor, if that makes any sense. Like,
it does.
This
Guinness has weight. Like, every once in a while, like, I expect a Guinness to, like, you could just put a spoon in Guinness and it would stand up straight. I know it doesn't.
It has.
But, like, that's probably what I have in my brain for the expectation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, a Guinness, very literally, is so viscous that if poured correctly from a tap, the bubbles will flow downward because the vortex formed by the beer is too powerful. Because the beer is too thick.
It's too powerful for physics.
Yeah, the bubbles cannot flow up the outside of the glass.
Right.
Because the beer is too thick and it's moving too fast. Yeah, it's fucking awesome. But this, it is a good flavor. It doesn't have bitterness.
It doesn't have gravitas.
It doesn't have a specific gravitas.
Okay.
That's...
You don't have a specific gravitas.
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know which one of you I'm talking about, but...
Yes.
It can be both.
Yeah. So what you been up to?
I applied for the Minnesota Fringe Festival.
Woo!
So here's the deal. Backstory,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because we don't know where things are going to be at come fringe time.
Sure.
So you can apply and you can produce for their virtual fringe, which is just online, and you can do a pre-recorded thing, you can do a live stream, you can do whatever. Or you can provide your own venue. But if you apply, you just get in.
Yeah.
Like, there is no wait list. There's no...
No lottery. No, yep.
No lottery. Like, they will just... You can just do a thing. Because you're either independently producing or you're, you know, doing a friend. They don't have to, like, book out venues or anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, I applied for Fringe, and like it's like $50, but that's it, right? Like, they're not going to check producer fees or anything like that. So I paid my $50. They took my $50. I go to log into the producer's section, and there's parts of it that are missing for me. And I don't know if they're supposed to be missing or not. I haven't looked this up. I just applied for it late last night. Because I was like, nah, fuck it. I'll do the French. So normally they have like little worksheets for you to fill out as a producer. Like, tell us about your show. Do you need these kinds of things for your show? They've got like, you know, about 5 or 6 different forms for you to fill out. And I don't have any forms to fill out. There's a section that's just got a header that says forms, and then it's blank. And then it moves on to the next section about marketing and marketing materials. And I'm just like, so, and they do have a link to the handbook, and I could go look this up. However, I am absolutely delighted by the idea that I'm supposed to have forms and I don't have forms, and that this is just this year's version of the wait list for me personally.
Yeah.
it's possible they just don't have the forms up yet because they're accepting people until like the middle of May or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just really like the idea that I'm supposed to have something there and I don't, and it's just my own personal version of being waitlisted.
Yeah.
I was honestly wondering how this was gonna happen.
I debated doing French for a couple of reasons. Number one, virtual is going to be weird.
Yeah, I guess it is.
But number two, like, if I'm not waitlisted, what's the point?
Yeah, like, it's tradition now. Yeah.
Yeah, I've completely. It was 10 years in a row, and now I've just ruined my streak entirely.
I think you should do your whole show should just be your screen with like a countdown. It's like wait list. 150 people in front of you, and then just every so often decrement it by a couple. And then like at the end of your show, like the last minute, it gets down to like 2 and then 1 and then show's over.
Yeah.
Like, your whole show is just how far back in the wait list you are.
It gets to 1, then it cuts to, hey, everybody! Blackout.
That's amazing.
It. That's your whole show right there.
In the meantime, well, I'm thinking, like, you should make idle chatter with the audience. In the meantime,
just waitlisted. Just waitlisted. Every so often, that number drops a couple.
And in the background, you hear, pen behind the ear, pen behind the ear,
Because that way, Jenna, even though you're technically doing a show, your streak is unbroken. Still wait.
Yeah, okay. Probably not.
Yeah.
I tried.
However, I don't know what I'm going to do for a show.
Hmm.
Ooh, I have an idea. You could just have a window that says waitlist, and then you had just decrement numbers.
Oh,
I have
what an amazing idea!
For the past few years, talked about doing waitlisted the musical.
Yeah, there's that. People in line at a deli, people at the DMV, people who are waiting to see if a table will open up.
Yeah.
Standing outside for the will call.
I think maybe I'm going to do a storytelling show of some sort.
I think if you did waitlisted the musical, though, technically your streak would be unbroken because you could say I've been waitlisted every year.
I mean,
my show every year has been waitlisted.
There we go.
I was about to say, like, I don't even have to do waitlisted the musical. I could just do something called waitlisted.
Yeah.
And talk about...
You could, like, do a one-woman show.
Obstacles
there you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And patience.
The difference between patience and tolerance.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, yes. Yeah.
Have I told you guys my definitions?
Mm.
Patience is when you are waiting for somebody to change, like you are waiting for something to change.
Mm-hmm.
Tolerance means you've just accepted it's not going to happen.
Ah.
Right? See, look at me.
I always wanted to...
More armchair definitions? Because I got them, bitches.
Yeah, I think you need to do this, and then your streak would be unbroken.
I draw a distinction between tolerance and acceptance, and I think that acceptance is what we should be striving for, but tolerance is okay for right now, but it's not where we should rest. Like, people can be tolerant of folks who have different lifestyles, but that's like saying, I don't like it, but I'm willing to let you continue to be who you are, where acceptance is saying you are who you are and that is okay.
Well, and I think tolerance has some form of compromise behind it. And I'm actually okay with tolerance.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes that compromise is I'm not even gonna be able to come up with an example right now, but you're tolerating somebody else's behavior so that you can get to a specific point to be able to do something of a greater good.
Hmm.
You might not be accepting of their behavior. Maybe their behavior is bullshit and you're going to slap them dumb later on. But for the moment, you're tolerating it because you have a greater goal that you're trying to achieve. I'm trying to think of something specific and it just ain't popping up.
Hmm.
But yeah, like I think I don't think acceptance is always what we should be striving for. I think some people just need to be tolerated for a greater good for a specified amount of time and then shot. God.
They need to be put on a wait list.
And then you That's need to...
Yes,
and then somebody needs to just punch them.
Yeah.
I mean...
Well, like, if you're in line at the DMV or waiting for your fringe ball to come up, whatever, and someone is listening to incredibly loud music on speakerphone, then tolerance is what is called for, probably. Although you will most likely get applause if you're like, stop it. But when it comes to the way that someone is, not the way that they're behaving, but the way that someone is, that's when I think tolerance is a way for people to dodge the social responsibility of acceptance. Like, when people say, hate the sin but love the sinner, I think that's tolerance, not acceptance.
That's
And when they say that about gay people, I don't think that's okay. I think that's something that is... It's better than burning people at the stake, but it's not where we need to be. That's where I think that tolerance and acceptance are.
Like I said, like I think that there are times for each, and I do think I like a goal of acceptance, like for many things, but I don't think acceptance always needs to be the goal.
That's fair. Yeah.
And I think that in order to tolerate somebody, there has to be a certain level of acceptance.
Yeah.
You can't tolerate somebody if you're not going to accept that these things are a part of a person, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you might not be, tolerance might not be a global acceptance, but you have accepted certain facts about the situation or what have you. I think sometimes tolerance is good, sometimes it's not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll be patient with your definition.
Thank you. I accept this.
So yeah, I'm debating a few different things for Fringe this year. It's definitely going to be one woman's storytelling. Because, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could try to pull together some kind of extravagant thing, but, like...
Eh. Smacks of effort.
I mean, there's
I've never known you to do that.
There's an effort aspect to it, but, like, there's also just... I haven't really done solo storytelling. I haven't done solo storytelling for The Fringe since Memoirs of a Welfare Queen.
Mm-hmm.
That was in, like, 2013. And I've had a lot of other ideas of things that I could do for solo storytelling shows.
Sure.
In fact, last year I put in for a solo storytelling show that will probably never get made now. It was called Wallflower, and it was about walls throughout history, but it was also very specifically commentary on the Trump administration, and now I don't care. So I'm probably just not doing that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just ready to never have to think about that motherfucker again.
Right. Yeah. I'm still.
It's weird.
Oh, that's a thing I don't want to think about. Anyway. fucking acquitted my ass, you sons of bitches.
Fucking fathomable.
No, it's totally fathomable. I can fathom it. Again, we were talking earlier about how the most harm that I've said, the most harm that's been done to me has been done by cowards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'm thinking of doing something else for Fringe. I just don't know what yet. But
yeah.
If you have ideas, oh my God, listeners, what do you want me to do for Fringe?
Oh, wow.
I probably won't do any of them, but I want to hear you.
I think you should do just a blank screen that says waitlist, and then it's a decrement
sake.
Numbers that decrement. Yeah, that.
I, for one, am ready for 10 more years of this joke. That's.
Yep. Hey, it's all I got.
Well, that's the thing. Like last year, I was technically waitlisted, but I was like fifth on the waitlist, so it really wasn't big of a deal.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, well, I'll be in shortly. Then just go hold the door open. I'll be there in a moment.
Yeah.
And then I was. And then there was no Fringe. The end.
Yeah.
The one time I get up to, like, get in before the end of March.
Yep.
And then suddenly there's no Fringe. It's my fault. That was actually something that Tim Wick said when I came in off the wait list. I think it was beginning to mid-March last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, I'm doing the Fringe. And Tim was like, yeah, I mean, unless there's some kind of catastrophic event that prevents the Fringe from happening.
That motherfucker.
Yep.
Who doesn't, who is an atheist and does not believe in luck or jinxing people.
Right? Like, okay, here's the deal. We all know that I'm a Christian, and that's not a logical choice. That's not a rational thing. It's totally based on, like, faith and other feely-spirity woobity-goobity.
Yeah.
But, like, have you seen my life? There is some deity up there fucking with me. Like,
somebody is playing dice with Jenna Young.
Yeah. God
or at least the lottery.
Fucked up sense of humor, and like I'm his favorite canvas.
Yeah, but the real question is, are they using a set of Eric Thompson's dice?
Ooh, that is a good question.
Shit.
The I have two feelings about that kind of fluffy thinking thing, and that is that, like, I definitely am superstitious.
No, put a pin on that for 1 second. Are you suggesting that Eric Thompson is God?
Isn't he?
I mean, he has a beard.
No, oh God, no. No.
He's very kind.
Mm-hmm. No,
He's given me bread.
Oh, shit. Oh. He's given me churros before.
And there was one day when I walked around a corner and we almost bumped into each other and I said, Jesus! So.
And he turned water into wine. Because it's Clar.
Oh my God, he did. Oh,
fuck. Shit, he is in charge of the wine show.
Well, no, the Clar.
No, I know. He's also in charge of the wine show.
Yeah.
including, I assume, the last performance that they have of that every year, and probably some weddings and a feast, which may or may not be the last feast that they have.
Stretching a little bit at this point, James.
Really, this is where I'm stretching.
Yes.
He's in charge of Academy, right. so he is a teacher.
Fair enough. Yeah, there's that.
No, I don't. I think this is a sound theory.
Yeah, I'm for this.
I do believe in God. I don't believe in Eric Thompson.
Oh.
You don't.
Despite all the evidence to the contrary,
you've met him and you don't believe in him?
He doesn't exist. Where's the proof?
Oh, okay.
I believe in
him. I mean, you just gave me a whole bunch of things that he supposedly does, but like.
I might start praying.
No, you know what? You know what?
Oh.
No, he can't be God.
Oh.
Oh.
On the seventh day, God rested, and Eric doesn't rest.
That's accurate. That's
killer proof right there. Yep. Yeah.
Thank you.
All shot to hell. All right.
All right. Well.
Okay.
Also, I believe that we all mean Eric Thompson.
Curse the French.
So there's that. Yeah.
Oh, buddy. Okay, so you were saying something before I was like, but wait, is Eric Thompson God?
I'm definitely superstitious. I pick up pennies and, you know, that kind of stuff. Knock on wood. I wonder if a lot of that heavily superstitious community stuff, sailors, theater folk, who often overlapped in demographics in their community because of the rigging and everything. I wonder if some part of that is obviously fluffy thinking, but some part of it is also when you have that ingrained caution about things, when you tend to be extremely wary of just casualness in day-to-day life and everything that you do. If that doesn't, in particular industries, make you less prone to certain mistakes.
I'm going to need like an example or something because I don't think I'm following.
Yeah, you lost me as well.
Well, like the prohibition on whistling in theaters came from sailors. They would use whistles to indicate when things needed to be raised and lowered. It was bad luck to whistle in a theater because somebody might mishear it and
as a cue
drop something at the wrong time, which at the best might be comic, accident, but then at the worst might hurt someone. But then
wait,
also
whistle in a theater.
It is. It's bad luck to whistle in a theater. I was told that.
Well, I can't whistle anyway, so it doesn't matter. But
So there's that. And then just other things like that, other superstitions. I feel like there it may be a survival mechanism. Like, definitely, I would say that tying unrelated or only tangentially related things to each other in a primal sense is a survival mechanism. So I'm wondering if
you're wondering which superstitions are born out of like an actual background,
right? Yeah, okay. Or that lead people to be more careful.
I mean, there are maybe. I mean, don't walk under a ladder. Somebody might drop something on you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure, I can see that. Picking up a penny that's tails? Eh.
Oh, I just pick them up anyway.
Right. But, like, that's supposed to be bad luck.
Huh.
You're supposed to leave tails be. And I'm like, I can't think of a single reason why that would be an issue.
I know some people flip them over for someone else to find, but also, like, for me, the thing was find a penny, pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck. Find a penny and leave it lay, you'll have bad luck all the day.
Yeah, but I can't see any reason why that would be a thing, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there are some superstitions that probably are born out of, you know, like...
I find myself spotting pennies and watching where my feet are going. And okay. Granted, like, I'm shoegazing and that kind of stuff. Like, I'm definitely looking down. But
hit your head on something.
It kind of keeps me aware of my surroundings. And I'm wondering if other superstitions similarly have that kind of... you know, obvious root in fluffy thinking, but then also have kind of benefit.
Yeah, some probably do. Don't walk under a ladder, somebody will drop something on you. Like, sure. I don't wonder that. I just think that, yeah, some do, some don't. Some of them might be things that used to be pertinent that just aren't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. Like, I feel like superstitions come from a variety of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it might be things that used to make sense. Some of it might just be a desire for ritual or for control of some sort.
Yeah. Yeah. Not washing your socks during the baseball season because you think that it's going to make your team a winner is...
Well, it'll definitely make other people not want to come near you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, sports are full of superstitions. It's kind of scary, actually. But I know that a lot of superstitions came from various religions that were, you know, very older religions. You know, pagan religions had various things that you know, as certain countries became Christianized, the people, even though they embrace Christianity, still held on to these superstitions, and that was kind of somehow accepted, and people just kind of let it go. But some of them, like James said, some of them came from practicality, like not whistling in a theater. Saying things like "good luck" would put stress on someone to know, oh, I got to do a good job, you know, and so they would say break a leg.
That's
because
why I generally say things like don't fuck up.
Exactly, but I mean, saying things like break a leg, what you're doing, you're putting the expectation really low, and so anything above that is a win, you know.
I thought break a leg had to do with how stages were built.
There are a lot of that is apocryphal.
Yeah, there are as many explanations for it as there are for why
nobody,
salsa is nicknamed
nobody
salsa.
Really knows why that came from.
Yeah.
Some of them are the leg lines. Some of them are from, you know, a reverse psychology standpoint. I'm just saying I can understand some of those, you know, coming from practicality reasons. But yeah, some of them are so lost in the mists of time that nobody knows.
Right.
One of the superstitions I have about like picking where to sit or picking an object from a menu or a vending machine, something like that, I know that it's something that I invented, but it's also incredibly useful for just making a fucking decision. Like, you're given a grid of options. I'm going to check this one first.
Okay.
Yeah. It just makes it easier for me to be done.
And this is a thing that kind of ties into one of my theories on superstitions. I think there are some superstitions built on ritual that mm-hmm. is built to help give people direction. I think that, I mean, I've never been diagnosed as OCD, which is hilarious, but here we are.
mm-hmm.
Right? You've seen my house. Well, not this mm-hmm. one, but you've seen previous houses, places of residence. And I think that one of the reasons why I am such a neat freak is because then I know where everything is. If I follow that ritual of I have entered the door, I put my keys here, I do this thing there, I do that thing there, I do this here.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's taken care of. Mm-hmm. I have built that ritual schedule thing in.
Yeah.
And I think that there are some superstitions that are carryover of ritual that was intended to help, especially those of us who don't always remember every little thing.
Yeah.
To be able to remember every little thing, or not have to remember every little thing, because we're just going by the ritual.
Yeah.
So I think there are some superstitions that are just based off of that. And again, some historical ones, I'm going to dip into religious practices with keeping kosher.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of kosher rules were based on what was or wasn't safe to eat at the time, mm-hmm. right?
What would frequently make you ill?
Yeah.
Pork.
Yeah.
Or just don't eat those.
Things with cloven hooves.
Yep.
Seafood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like, I think... Yeah. I definitely think there is a lot of tie-over between religious and superstitious mm-hmm. Practices, mm-hmm. but I think they can come from a variety of different backgrounds. Yeah.
Well, and I think things like knocking on wood, which I definitely do, I think some part of that also advises caution in the face of brash overconfidence. Because when somebody...
More of like a psychological trick?
Right. Like, it is a way to not necessarily make people second-guess themselves, but to remind them that things...
down a peg?
Well, just that things can go wrong. That's funny. That's very funny. But also, just, like, things can and do go wrong, and that...
Yeah.
Before you say, oh, everything's fine, everything's going to work out great, everything's perfect, yeah, that it will make people instead say, I'm going to check and make sure everything is going well.
Yeah.
Admittedly, that adds to anxiety a little bit, but that's also...
I mean, it can. I don't know. No. I'm always just anxious about getting everything done right anyway, so
yeah.
I don't know that you can add to my anxiety. I'm already there.
Yeah.
Like, no, I suppose it might be possible. Mm. I'm going to knock on wood.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, just especially those superstitions which just advise a degree of caution. And
yeah,
and thought about what it is that you are doing, what it is that you are saying, where it is that you are going. Mm-hmm. All of those, even if they have their roots in, you know, prior religious practices and things like that. Something that somebody said on Judge John Hodgman about keeping kosher was that it really encourages him to examine carefully and think about what it is that he's eating.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Even though there
Speaking
is...
Speaking of things that we're eating.
Yes.
I'm driving us around.
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Because, yeah, I feel like we've been talking about this one a lot. And we're basically coming to the same conclusions over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
But speaking of eating, a little while ago, I bought myself a Ninja Foodie.
Oh, yeah.
One. And Joe was actually over at my place this weekend for the first time since moving. So that was fun. But I got to use it. I have never used a pressure cooker before.
Oh.
I've never used an air crisper before. I don't know if I did something right or wrong. But I followed the instructions and I made rice, and chicken that had been soaking in a marinade and some carrots, right? And it was pretty tasty. The chicken was still a little dry. And I don't know if there was something specific I did or didn't do. And I think, like, I have a couple of different possibilities. One of them is just my timing on releasing the pressure on the pressure cooker. Because I didn't realize that I needed to do that, like, right the fuck away. Like, I was just reading the next instructions when the thing was beeping at me.
Oh, sure.
But, like, I think it pressure cooked for, like, an extra, like, 20 to 30 seconds, which might be enough to fuck that up. But it was really fun. Cause I put things in the pot and then 2 minutes later, I adjusted some things, added some more things to the pot. And then 10 minutes later, I had food.
Ta-da!
Yeah, that's amazing. Pressure cooker is magic.
I was like, oh wow, that's fast. So now I'm like, what else can I cook in my Ninja food? but this thing does everything, you guys. I was reading about it. Like, I got this on the recommendation of my brother, and it really is just the best, like, all-in-one product I could have for my tiny apartment. Because it'll dehydrate. It's a rice cooker, obviously. It'll do sous vide.
Oh, wow, yeah, sous vide.
Make yogurt. If I could have yogurt.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, there's it's an 8-in-1. It does like 8 different functions, and they're all like impressive.
I was about to say you can make a great dulce de leche, but never mind.
But
would also that.
But yeah, it was fascinating. It was my first time using a pressure cooker, and I was like, holy shit, that was fast. It was almost too fast. Holy fuck, it's still going. Oh god, what do I do? Ah.
If you find a pancake recipe that agrees with your tummy, you can make gigantic, super thick, rich, fluffy pancakes that are just like a cake.
Point the first.
Yes.
I already have my perfect pancake batter that I can do in my cast iron pan, which is the best place to make pancakes. So no.
What I'm saying is that the batter, instead of making a perfect pancake, it makes a cake. Like something...
Yeah, I...
Something the size of a cake. Okay.
I feel like that's a fun science experiment, but at the end of the day, if I want a cake, I'll make a cake.
Oh, that's fair.
If I want a pancake, I'll make a pancake.
Yeah.
Because I've already got
really
good, delicious things that I do for that, so...
Yeah, I really want to try it.
Well,
but that means I got to get a pressure cooker.
May I recommend the Ninja Foodie 8-in-1?
Oh yeah, fair enough. Yeah. We did just get a gigantic food dehydrator, and we have been making use of it, and it's incredible.
Oh, so, I'm excited to try food dehydration with mine.
Yeah. I'm gonna go do that now.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. I'm going to go get another drink.
Oh, okay.
Another drink sounds good. We should take a break so we can do that.
Yay!
Yay!
Die?
I said, yeah.
Oh, I was like, that seems to be an extreme reaction to taking a break, but
Yay!
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna. Were we talking about me time?
I mean, we did talk. Are you
pretty
done,
consistently
are we done with you time?
I mean,
or
I can
do you
always
have more to
talk
say.
About me. I can always say so much more about me.
Okay, Jenna, keep going.
I'm gonna be magnanimous.
I see.
And allow the two of you to have some time on this podcast.
Nobody cares about us.
Co-hosts.
Nobody cares about us. This is Jenna's podcast.
Oh, okay. Well, then I've been reading War for the Oaks again.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. By that, I started it at about 3:34 o'clock this afternoon. And I'm almost done with it because it's an easy read, but I highly recommend it.
It is a quick read, but worth every minute.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. Well, and I mean, okay, so, like, I have a lot of ties to it, right? Like, mm-hmm. I grew up at a Renfest, and Emma Bull was at the Renfest mm-hmm. and part of a lot of bands I grew up with.
She was in Cats Laughing, right?
Yep, she was in Cats Laughing. But it's interesting, because she actually wrote War for the Oaks before she was really a musician. So, like, she was hanging out with musicians, but she really wasn't doing a lot of music yet. She wrote War for the Oaks before that point, and then just kind of fell into doing music afterwards. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fascinating.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I love how she talks about Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. Like, you can tell that Minneapolis is dear to her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, just you know various. What I mean? Just, there was, there's one part where, like, she's describing, you know, it being at Minnehaha Falls. And, you know, like, walking along this stone wall. And you're just like, I know that wall. I know exactly where she is. Like, to the foot, I know exactly where she is.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never been in the Witch Hat Tower, but I used to drive past it absolutely every day.
I also
on my
have
way
never been in it.
You can only go in there one day a year, right?
Yeah, usually.
I have performed on the stage at First Ave, though. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I used to work in a church that is right next to the Witch Hat Tower.
Yeah.
And they would have Easter sunrise service in the park right next to the Witch Hat Tower, which is delightful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hello, Witch Hat. We're going to do some Jesus stuff down here. It's cool. Like, whatever.
Quite the juxtaposition, yeah.
Yeah, but it was a reconciling congregation, so
sure.
Depending on which way you were looking at it in the year 2000.
It's just a good book, you know. I feel like every time we talk about that book, we always talk about the Minneapolis connection, but it's just a good book.
It's
solid. Like, and there are a lot of places that still exist in there to this day. Riverview Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. Pasta Bar.
Loring, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few places that don't. But I think my favorite in talking about the Minneapolis connection is when she talks about they're walking along Hennepin Avenue. And the hook is like, you love this road, don't you? Or maybe it was Willie Silver. I don't know. She was walking down the street with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, you really love this road, don't you? And she's like, well, yeah. Like, if in Minneapolis, like, downtown would be the heart of Minneapolis, but uptown is, like, the feet.
Mm-hmm.
And Hennepin Avenue is just the artery that connects the two of them. And you get so much of Minneapolis just going through that specific area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and you just hear her love of Minneapolis.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Yep.
And yeah, I don't know if we're as big a music scene as we used to be back in the Prince days. I don't know if you can get much bigger than that, really. But
yeah,
like, there's still, you know, still a lot. We got a lot of arts, yo.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I think we're still a strong art town. You know, we still got a lot of music, and we still have a lot of comedians, and we still have a lot of theater.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, it's been said before, but second only to New York for the number of theater seats per capita.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Which is pretty fucking impressive.
It's because we have theaters every fucking other block.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm trying to think of which theater I live closest to right now. I think it's
got to be the one on the corner of Lagoon and
Hennepin.
What's that one called?
Yeah, is that okay? Wait, so there's the Lagoon Theater and there's the Uptown Theater, and I can't remember which is which.
Uptown Theater is the one that has the giant upright, and they do Rocky.
Yeah, I think.
And then
that
Lagoon
one's...
is
Rocky would be the. I don't know. It's the Rocky Horror Picture Show Theater.
Yeah, that one. I think that's the closest to you.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
That's the one that has the Fluvog built into the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the Lagoon is the one that constantly does anime.
Yep.
Yep.
Which is a block away.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, a block away from that point, there used to be Comedy Sports.
Yep.
Yep. The Beat used to have the Monday Night Comedy Show in it, and that was about a block away from there.
Mm.
There's like, and all of those bars have some kind of like stand up or an open mic or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think I count those as theater seats though.
Well,
I mean they're stages.
Yeah, but it's not a theater seat.
No.
I would only count them in stages.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, if we are talking about just performance stuff, like, I would count open mics as performances.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I was going more by James's reference to theater seats, you know, per capita.
Theater seats per capita. Yeah.
I would say, you know, the more permanent installations with a stage and seats that are. Well, but then you've got like the Chanhassen, which those are dining seats. It's a dinner theater.
But it is still a theater.
Yeah, but it is still a dinner theater. Like the word theater is in the word, in the name.
I suppose.
But yes, like, if we're talking about just performance spaces for art to happen, then absolutely.
Yeah. Then everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, even just looking at theaters, like, within a mile of where I'm at, I can think of probably about 7 or 8 different theaters, maybe 9.
Yep.
Just within.
Yeah.
Honestly, just going in that direction, like pretty much going down Lagoon Lake.
Yeah.
Like there's Pangea, there's Huge, there's Jungle. There used to be Intermedia. I'm not that far from the Phoenix.
There's the Heart of the Beast somewhere.
That one's further down. Heart of the Beast is out past where I used to live.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Further north, you've got Theater Garage. Is Theater Garage still open?
I think Theater Garage closed down. I'm pretty sure they shut down.
I heard that they closed because they were going to take that building and turn it into something else, but they were going to keep, like, the theater on the first floor or something like that. But who knows what's
that's weird.
Going on now.
I heard they were closed down, but nobody knew it. Honestly, it's been a year, Salsa.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck's going on out there.
Nobody has any idea. in the outside worlds.
So
we are going to emerge from our, you know, year-long hibernation into a world that is foreign to us.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Salsa?
Yeah.
I had a busy weekend.
Involving
Mondo and hockey.
That's right, there was Mondo this weekend, I forgot. How was it?
If I wasn't doing Mondo, I was doing hockey, and if I wasn't doing hockey, I was doing Mondo. because...
Seems like a good arrangement.
So the Magicians, the team I work for, had four games in 5 days. They had a Wednesday game, and then they had a Friday...
Well, they really are trying to catch up, aren't they?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In the beginning of March, they've got four games in 4 days. There was a game on Wednesday, and then there was a game on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Mondo was also Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So it was watch a bit of Mondo, go to a hockey game, you know, do that, come back, do a little Mondo, go to bed, wake up the next morning, take my daughter to hockey practice, come home, Mondo, Magician's game, go home, go to bed, wake up the next morning, Mondo, take my daughter to her hockey game, more Mondo, Magician's game.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm not joking. It was either hockey or Mondo.
Yeah.
How did you juggle all of that, Salsa?
Thankfully, I took some workshops, and they helped me. My daughter, like I said, my daughter on Sunday had a game. And this was her second game that they've had this year. And I say game, and it was a, you know, the 8U games, which means they don't really keep score, but they just play against another team, so to speak.
Sure.
And they, you know, don't know what the hell they're doing, and they just skate around and have fun. The game that they had on Sunday was the 8U girls against the Mites, which is the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And even just watching in warm-ups, I was just like, oh, shit. Because they were so outclassed. Like, night and day. You know, because even at 7 and 8 years old, these little boys are doing, like, hockey stops and passing drills and you know, all sorts of things, and it was just like, this is going to be, we will find out how this goes, because this can go a number of different ways. This can go very rough for her, you know, getting just absolutely destroyed, or this could go, if I've done my job right, and the things I have instilled in her stick, she will have fun, and we will be happy. And I'm texting my wife this, and she's like, "Oh yeah, I feel that," because she was like, "When I was in a kid, you know, we would do sports against the boys, and just get crushed, and it was hard, very hard."
Right.
So
yeah,
it was just like, well, if you need to take her out for a treat or something afterwards, we'll handle that when we get there.
Right.
And they did. It was an absolute massacre. I think they scored once the entire time.
Oh.
But, you know, they got off the ice, and I went to my daughter, and I said, "So, how was it?" She was like, "It was great! We had so much fun!" And it was just like, yes!
Yes. Oh, thank God. Okay.
Because every day, every single day before practice, and I started this her first year of hockey, I started this every day before we get on the ice. I tell her, what are the rules? And she knows that she's had these rules drilled into her this time, by this point, for 3 years or 2 years or whatever. The rules are, listen to the coach, hustle, and most importantly, have fun.
Nice.
Excellent. Every day before practice, we go through this. What are the rules? Hustle, listen to the coach, and most importantly, have fun. So they got massacred. It wasn't even close. But she got off the ice, and she was like, I had so much fun.
Nice.
So,
God, your daughter might be more mature than me.
I mean, she's also seven, and so a lot of the implications of things like that have not sunk in yet. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens in 3 years. You know, if she's still doing it. But
yeah.
But so that was kind of a moment of relief. Because that very easily could have gone the other way.
Oh yeah.
I mean, she did. She got off the ice and she was like, "Oh, they were just way better than we were." You know, and I was fully expecting to have this conversation of, "Okay, you know, well, why are they better? You know, is that something we can work on? You know, trying to turn it into a positive, or trying to figure out a way to make it." It was just like, nope, they were way better than we are, but we had fun and we had a good time, and I was on the bench cheering my team on, and it was just like, okay, okay.
So you didn't start talking with her about the patriarchy and how boys teams have better funding.
Yeah, we didn't have to get into any of that. So
didn't dive into any of that. All
I mean,
right.
There's also that.
I mean, that will come soon enough. But we just so, which was honestly because in my anxiety, my first thought was, where the fuck am I going to take her for a treat? Because I was just like, yeah. I can't take her to like a soda shop or an ice cream fountain place and have a malt with her somewhere, because nowhere like that's open. You know,
yep.
Like, you could do a drive through for like McDonald's and
but it's not the same as sitting down in a malt shop and having just a heart to heart with someone over ice cream, and it was just so but anyway, Mondo was fantastic. It was all online, it was all streamed. There was a couple Zoom bombers which showed up, which fucking, I don't understand why. I don't understand. I don't understand people. Why do people like people? I don't understand.
We know.
I like people.
Anyway,
I like some people.
I like the concept of people, but they're individuals.
In practice, they're done. But for example, one of the workshops I watched was Steven Raggetts, who has performed at Mondo before and is a fantastic, he's been a circus performer for decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but he did a workshop on prop creation, prop construction, where he talked about, it was really interesting because he talked about making your own props and why it's important. You know, because he said that, you know, everybody has the standard props that are made, that are factory made and everything like that. And he's mm-hmm. like, but they're all the same and they don't necessarily work for you. You know, he's
right.
Like, I've got really long arms, you know, so the standard prop for cigar boxes is not quite what I need. And he goes, you know, I do a lot of, you know, club twirling stuff, and these juggling clubs have a knob on the end that is good for kind of that, but it's not really good for that. You know, he's like, so it's easy to take those off and put a bigger knob on them if that's what you use them for. You know, you've limited your ability to mm-hmm. juggle with those clubs, but you've improved your ability to spin those clubs. And so when I'm doing that, these are the clubs I use, and they're made for that.
Sure.
You know, and so I have, you know, a greater understanding and a greater appreciation for the prop, and it fits me. You know, it does what I want it to do, you know, how I want it to do. And he goes, you know, I've done a lot of stuff with vaudeville and older, old-timey stuff. You know, his costume is you know, a little bit more old-time with the bowler hat and the briefcase and things like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he was the guy that briefcase juggled the
ball, the ball.
Yeah, the dodgeballs, yeah.
Yeah, the ball on the briefcase. And he showed us how he constructed that briefcase, too, by the way, which was really
cool.
Wow. But yeah, so he's like, he put this wood grain contact paper on his juggling clubs to give him more of a wood look. Because he was like, the shiny plastic didn't fit his character.
No, yeah.
And so he just talked about that, and you know, he's talking about he makes his own cigar boxes because they have a certain weight and a certain dimension, you know,
right.
Because various things that he does with those require a very specific dimension and a very specific weight. And he's like, I can try to force the other thing into pre-existing store-bought cigar boxes, or I can make my own cigar boxes that do exactly what I want them to do.
And
the other thing
that just work every time.
And the other thing is some of his other props, like he's got a chest that he uses, that he puts his Rollabola on top of, and that chest also is useful for carrying props. And he goes, when I break this chest down, everything folds into it, and these cigar boxes perfectly slot into that.
Okay.
You know, and then that flat packs, and then this goes here, and this goes here, and everything folds up perfectly because I've made all of these pieces, so everything is exactly the right size to fit in all of these places.
That's fantastic.
And just talking about that, and he goes, you know, when you are creating your own props and making things of your own, there's always a trade-off. You know, you're always sacrificing one thing to achieve another thing.
Immortality.
Such as the larger knobs on the juggling clubs, for example. You know, like you said, he can't juggle with those clubs at all.
Yeah.
Because now they've got this huge knob on them. But the other stuff that he does with them now, and he goes, that will alter your routine. And that will also, you know, and costume choices that he makes will alter the props that he can use, which will alter the routine and all of just how everything goes together. And he goes, but you can try to take the store-bought stuff and cram that into everything else, or you could learn how to make props and then holistically put everything together as it needs to be. But I just, I found it so great because one of the first things he said was, okay, this is what you need. You need to get yourself a ShopSmith Mark V. And I was just like, hey, honey, I have to get one now.
The guy said so.
I have to. The workshop guy said I had to.
The clown told me.
But anyway, it was a fantastic workshop, and the other ones that I attended were just as equally awesome and
nice
and stuff like that. So yeah, Mondo, as always, was amazing. Cause Mondo.
I wanted to watch Mondo. I did not get the opportunity.
Did not get to what were you doing?
I wanted to make sure Salsa was at the hockey and the Mondo. That was
Do you think you had time for anything else?
I don't, but I wanted to place a bookmark in it in case.
James, answer the question.
I was real fucking busy this weekend. Aside from having the landlordess come by and do a final check to make sure that the stove needed to be replaced, and it does. Okay. The other things that I was up to were I was in a show. There was the Vilification Tennis Interruptus show on the 12th. And I think it went really, really well. It felt good. When I was not doing that or D&D, or just like taking a break, I was doing the KVSC trivia marathon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard your team got 15th.
Yes. That is correct. And we spent some of the time in the top 10.
Oh. Yes.
Several times, as a matter of fact.
Nice.
And there were things that I loved about this year, and there were things that were just fucking frustrating, as always.
Mm-hmm.
So the trivia contest this year, I did not participate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I my energy left.
Yeah.
I don't know anything for anything right now.
Yeah.
But there were differences this year, weren't there? Like, there was only so many hours or certain kinds.
Right. Instead of 50.
Right.
They had a break between midnight and 8.
Okay.
Both mornings. So it was a 34-hour trivia marathon. Which actually felt really good, weirdly. Like, as much as I love the late night shift and staying up, you know, and being...
Right. And getting just a bunch of different toilet flushes throughout the course of 4 a.m. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
That was my favorite year.
But then there were other ones. I did have a few of those moments where I could be MVP for that question, you know, where they asked, you know, during this thing happened, and blah, 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 tell us these four things about this niche historical fact. And I listened to the question 2 times, and then for some reason on the third listen it clicked. They had just read the question. I was listening to it on the playback because one of our team members records them and puts them into the channel. And
as you should, yes.
And so I listened to it and I was like, oh shit, I know exactly what this is. And I just like quick told my team, and we had the answer in within 30 seconds of the question being read. It was, and that feels amazing.
Awesome.
That kind of thing feels great. But then there are other ones where you're sitting basically doing high intensity, very fast, dead end research.
Yep.
Into an impossible question.
I'm really good at the dead end part of that.
55 minutes. Yeah, for 55 minutes, and then you don't have it. You don't have the answer. Sometimes you pull it through in a clutch, you know? And 1 minute before they close it, and we had a few of those, 1 minute before they close it, you've got that fucking answer. But then there are other times where you are just as lost as you were at the moment that they read the question, and you have spent almost a full hour trying to figure out what the fuck it is you're supposed to be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And none of the usual tricks are working. I am convinced, by the way, that Google is getting worse. Because it no longer accepts Booleans.
Really?
It accepts, you can put things in quotes, but the things that respond to quotation marks are getting fewer and farther between.
Interesting.
And more often than not, it is disregarding the minus sign when you say, I don't want results from this place.
I have noticed that.
And you can't say, I want this thing and this thing. You used to be able to capitalize the word and, the word not, the word or.
Ask Jeeves?
I haven't.
Have you tried Bing?
I did. I got different results.
Yeah, I've had that happen.
Yeah.
Bing, I think.
Yeah, I was using Google, Bing, and Yahoo consistently.
Yeah. Yep.
Especially for photo results, because with board games, when they ask an obscure question about a piece of the board game that you don't usually see in photos, one of the things that I'll do is start looking at people who have private sites mm-hmm. that have some pictures that look like all of the other pictures, because chances are pretty good that they have more pictures.
Right.
Even if they don't have them on the page.
I remember one year there was a question that was about something that was hanging on somebody's shop.
Oh, sure.
And the shop, the website had a bunch of pictures about things that were hanging on their shop, but none of the pictures were the answer to the question.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, one of our people just called up the shop and was like, "Hello, shop." And they're like, "Ha ha, you're doing a trivia thing, aren't you?" "The answer is this." And we're like, "All right, good day to you, sir." And then.
Yeah.
It was like. But we went through all of the pictures before we were like, somebody just mm-hmm. called it up.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, my experience with that, I've had, I want to say, like, two or three questions every year where they ask about the image that's on the inside cover of an album
yep.
that's obscure. Or they ask about a part of a board game that is so niche and so rare that there are only photos of specific squares, and they ask about squares that you can't find photos of by searching.
Right.
And there was a game like that where I found more photos, and one of them was hosted on a private site, and I was able to get into the server and look at the photos that they had collected,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't have all of their photos posted to the page. And a bunch of them contained the segments of the board that we were looking for.
Yeah. Yep.
That kind of stuff. And right. that's my fucking jam. That makes me feel really smart.
Yeah.
And I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe even more so than just knowing the answer off the top of my head.
It is very satisfying when you do that research, that mm-hmm. Google foo, and you do the deep dive into something and you find it and you're like, holy fuck, this paid off. What the shit?
Yeah.
But yeah, my team mm-hmm. that I was not actually on, although still technically I think a part of, came in 11th this year.
Yes, they were much closer to us than usual.
I know. That's your fault, though, because normally normally we're in the top 10. So mm-hmm. I think the lack of me meant that they all decided they could slack. And that's...
Yeah. They didn't have a project manager.
Right. Well, honestly, one of the things that I love about doing trivia with that particular group is that there is not a goddamn thing I have to project manage. they have been... There are people in that group that have been doing this for like 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And they just they know how everything works. They've got a system in place. They've done the forming, the storming, and the norming, and they are now just performing.
Yeah.
Thank you, project management terms. But yeah, no, they just I just show up and I follow their procedure, and it is a lovely vacation from yeah. me doing fucking anything else at all. Because somebody else is in charge. I'm just here to dick around on the internet.
There you know? Are times, though, when I feel like I feel like somewhere Duck Washington is lending me bardic inspiration on my insight check or on my investigation roles, you know? Because I'll suddenly be like, wait, this word... If I add this word, I'm going to get different results, and I'll get the perfect thing. And it's exactly
right.
I love it so much. Well, and I got to see a bunch of people that I've been missing. So
I mean, that's another thing too. Like I thought about it. Number one, I was invited to join three different teams this year.
Ooh.
I know. I'm not
Did
even
you consider
that
joining all of them?
No, if I'm going to join a team, it's going to be a team.
No, she was put on the wait list for the others.
Oh,
if I ever have to make my own trivia team,
no,
it's
going to
be the Jenna Young wait list.
Yes. Ooh. So anyway, but I will ever only play on one team. I'm never going to cross-pollinate my teams. there's something just... about that.
Oh, yeah. No, there is.
Yeah. I've known people who have done it kind of on the sly or accidentally. But, yeah. But, yeah, it's really hard to... Like, because I have my team. And, and they do a really good job. And I like those people. But I also like the people on these other two teams that keep asking me to join up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but I like people. Which is how I'm very different than Salsa.
Yeah, I was going to say, Salsa's like, well, there's your problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the pointing definitely sells on an audio podcast. And that's who knows. Good job, buddy. Okay. Should we take a break?
I suppose we could do that.
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing. Are you ready?
For some football.
Aye, aye, Captain. Oh, we had very different reactions to this.
We're back. I'm Salsa.
James.
And Jenna. Oh, a pineapple under the sea. Football! I mean, pineapples are kind of football shaped, or footballs are kind of pineapple shaped.
Oh.
Look, I'm trying. I'm trying, all right? Yeah. I'm trying to make the two of you make sense.
So the thing that I realized about Cave Johnson is that he has that whole rant about being given lemons and then making life take the lemons back and demanding to see life's manager and then burning life's house down with the incendiary lemons. And what I realized years now, like 8 years after the release of that game, is that an incendiary lemon is a lemonade.
Get out.
He has been given
what
lemons.
What the hell are you talking about?
And he's making lemonades.
Yeah, James, look, it's been fun having you on the podcast.
Has it, though? Dear God.
I think I'm more upset that I actually understood where your reference came from. Like, I am angry. I am internally just upset. I'm like internally frothing at how angry I am about understanding your deep pull reference.
Yeah.
And then the wordplay on that deep pull reference. And I'm just mad about everything right now.
I don't even know if it was on purpose. If they did it on purpose, I have to believe that they did.
No.
No, James, nobody does things like that on purpose.
Oh.
I can think of two people that do things like that.
On Jenna, nobody does that on purpose.
Nobody worth speaking
there
of, anyway.
Dear God, somebody throw a pie, or in our case, a Fast Five.
Fast Five!
Today's Fast Five.
Question.
Oh my
God,
James.
Rude. Let's also do the intro.
Oh, okay, do the
Seriously.
Intro.
Seriously. How long have you been doing this, James?
Who's in charge?
A third as long as you?
Oh God, that is about accurate.
Yeah. Cool. Also, it was nice working with you, James.
But, was it?
Was it though?
I mean, you're consistent.
There's that.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from James. Nobody cheer that.
Wait. Hold on a second, James. Hold on. Salsa, placing bets now. How many of these Fast Fives are wordplay?
Five.
Fuck.
Second bet, how many of these are deep pulls?
Five.
That James is going to have to explain in detail, and neither of us will get.
Five of them.
I'm hoping zero.
I'm going with two.
Oh, well.
All right. Honest answer. Yeah, I think two. I think we're probably right. Probably two.
I'm going to go two.
Okay, let's find out.
I don't think
there's
more than two. All
right.
Don't prove me wrong, James.
For fuck's sake, James. Let's get this
no
over with.
No pressure.
Question number one.
Yay!
Can or string?
Can or string?
I'm going to go can.
Can you do the can?
I would rather eat a can of fish, i.e. anchovies or sardines, mm-hmm. than a string of fish, i.e. something that I have caught and had to fillet.
Ooh. Oh, that's good. I would definitely go string if that were the context. I still want to think about this a second, though. Can or string? Can or
yeah.
string? Like, what pops into my mind are those bones.
I thought the same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
Sure, yeah.
But that's not an or, that's an and.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's throwing my programming logic straight out the window.
like Google, Jenna like no Google. Longer accepts or as a Boolean modifier. Bryn just tried kippers for the first time in a long time, if ever, and discovered that she loves those. I am slowly converting her over to someone who enjoys tinned meats, which is really an awful thing to do to anybody.
Right. Well, I've told you how I feel about Spam.
Yeah.
But
you threw it away and ate the bread.
I just ate the bread, and, like, there was no other food in my house. Like, that's just, nope,
yeah.
That does not happen.
Yeah. No.
I've decided that the context is, which is the better practical joke?
Mm.
The snake in the peanuts can, or silly string?
Ooh.
And I'm going to go silly string.
Like, silly string is very silly.
There is something to the jump factor of the snakes popping out of the peanuts can. Mm-hmm. But number one, I'm allergic to peanuts. And number two, like that's 5 seconds tops that you're getting out of that. Whereas silly string has longevity.
Yeah.
You're gonna find that shit ground up in your carpet months afterwards. So I'm going
man, to- I have such a good story about silly string too. Fuck. Yeah. Another time.
What are question. You doing, James?
Oh, I chose string.
Okay.
Question number two. Car or shoestring?
Wait, car?
Car.
As in like automobile car?
As like an automobile.
Or shoestring.
Or shoestring.
Which could refer to, like, a couple of different things. There could be a shoestring budget.
Mm-hmm.
There could be a shoelace shoestring.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, like, shoestring fries.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, like, go away string shoe.
I was
now
gonna say
who's
I
guilty?
Find that
this
one
is
less
James we're talking about.
James? Yeah.
Okay.
I was going to say it, and then I was like, but no, no, that could happen.
But I've been proven wrong on many occasions. Just when I think you've reached your lowest point, you dig.
I wouldn't say low, just far out there.
I would rather
say,
go ahead.
Oh, you go if you've got an idea.
I would rather drive than walk.
Well, that's okay. Really good. I would also rather drive than walk. I'm going to say car versus shoestring. Are you more likely to finance something that can help you get to places, whether that's literal or metaphorical?
Mm-hmm.
Are you more likely to take a loan out on something to get you where you need to go, like a car? Or do you operate more on a shoestring budget? Mm. And I don't actually like taking out loans. So I'm going to go shoestring. Also, I have a lot of experience working on a tiny budget. Like,
yeah.
Hold me close, a tiny budget.
I mean, you did a whole show about it.
Yeah.
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 It came out and off the wait list.
Accurate.
Yeah.
I think shoestring.
Okay.
For me, I think.
All right.
Yeah. Question number 3.
Yay.
Parfait.
Ooh.
Or marshmallow?
Parfait.
I can have marshmallows. So,
that's true.
I mean, parfaits have layers. Now I have Shrek just going through my brain.
Yeah, that's...
I can't stop it.
No.
I'm going to go marshmallow.
Just yeah?
I can have them. Why not?
Do you remember parquet?
Yes, I do.
Butter.
Well, yeah, exactly. Because when he said parfait, in my head, I went, no, butter.
Butter.
Parquet.
Butter.
Butter.
Yeah.
Butter.
Oh, man. That's something else I spent the weekend doing, watching old-ass commercials.
When I was a kid, I was in 4-H, and my older brother and sister did a comedy skit with a neighbor of ours, and there was one spot where, like, I don't remember what happened, but one of them looked at our neighbor and went, "Porquet!" And she looked at the audience and went, "No, butter." And it was hilarious.
That
is pretty good.
I still remember it all these years later.
Nice. So, Salsa, you chose marshmallow or parfait?
Parfait.
He chose parfait.
Parfait. Okay, so we've got parfait, we've got marshmallow. I'm going to choose parfait.
Fair enough.
All right. Question number 4. Arcade or library?
No, butter.
Can't believe it's not salsa.
Library, clearly.
Arcade or library?
Mm-hmm.
Which was I more likely to be in as a teenager? Mm. Library.
Yeah.
Which library. Am I more likely to be in now? Arcade.
Library.
Yeah.
I fucking love Up Down. I miss Up Down, and I am excited to go to Up Down as soon as I COVID can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm gonna say arcade.
Nice.
Pretty definitely. I wish it was library, but arcade.
I feel like I never had the arcade experience. We didn't have one where I grew up. Mm-hmm. You know? And now if I want to play a game, there's an emulator for that.
Right.
Like going out and having to wait in line and hear all the noise and chaos around me.
Yeah,
it's like,
I don't see you as being someone there for the noise and chaos. Like I think that would be a turnoff for you. But like up down, like when we did up down for my birthday a couple of years ago at like 11 a.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah.
And we were the only ones there, and it was just a room full of arcade games and like people behind a bar willing to give us booze. Like that was pretty solid. I think Salter, you would enjoy that arcade experience.
I do have to concede that there is one thing that I cannot get at home, and that is skee ball. And skee ball is pretty fantastic.
When we're done with the COVID times, I am debating setting up a skee ball league.
Yes.
Just a skee ball bowling league.
That'd be fun.
It doesn't even matter. Like, we don't even care about the scores. We're just there to play skee ball.
Yeah. We're there to roll and drink.
No, but if you do skee ball league, you got to get the bowling shirts for the teams.
Yeah,
I would do that.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of people in beer bellies and bowling shirts playing skee ball. Hell yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, like I will set up a cafe press or a Redbubble, whatever the things are now.
Where I'm gonna get bowling shirts.
Hey, cafe press. But yeah, I would design that and publish that for the skee ball bowling league.
Absolutely.
Anyway. So yeah, arcade.
All right. Question number 5. Heads or tails?
Heads or tails? Am I more attracted to somebody's face or their butt? Mm. The answer is yes.
The answer is Joe.
The answer, well, yeah. I do find other people attractive besides Joe. Like,
for their Joe-like qualities.
No, actually. I find other people attractive for their own unique qualities. Yeah. And I'm not looking for backup Joes. One Joe is enough. Thank you very much.
Accurate.
I'm going to go heads.
I'm going to go heads as well.
I'm going to go tails.
All right. We're all in.
And now, for the context.
Context.
Question number 1. Can or string? If you had a hole in a sock.
And I do.
Would you throw it out or repair it?
Damn. That was a pretty interesting poll.
Would you throw it in the can or... would you?
That was a deep
take some
pull,
thread?
But yeah. I understood it.
Yeah.
So I don't think I can count this one.
Okay.
Throw it away.
It kind of depends on the sock.
Mm-hmm.
I do have select pairs of socks that I have darned.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like really cool, fun patterns, or like I had some crocheted socks.
Oh, sure.
And, like, that's actually pretty simple.
Let me say just store-bought socks, then.
Hook them up. Just like my black socks.
Yeah.
Like 18 million pairs of black socks, my and my crews. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to get into not just throwing them out. I repaired a pair of socks today.
Aww.
So that's what made me think of it. I pick string.
Yeah, there's a reason why I buy basic blacks.
Yeah.
In giant packs of socks. I think I would like to make time to be able to do more of those home repair things. And I do have a pile of mending that I've owned for like the past three moves that I haven't gotten to yet. But that's just it. Is that I had that stuff like three houses ago and I haven't gotten to it yet. So like,
yeah,
I'm not, and some of them are sweaters that I miss wearing, frankly. so yeah, I'm not getting in my socks. That's not happening.
Yeah, I have the same pair of white Reebok crew socks that I get every year. And they're just the same. Every time I need new socks, I buy the same thing. That way I don't need to worry about matching pairs or anything like that. They're all the same fucking sock.
Hmm.
You know, so when a hole gets in one of them, out the window it goes.
I've got dress socks, and I've got my regular summer weight socks, and I've got my winter weight socks. And then I've got my welter weight socks, which are for boxing. But no, that last part was made up.
I was confused, but was so
confused. I've got boot socks that are big and warm and winter weight, and then I've got dress socks and regular just tube socks.
See, I have the ankle socks.
Uh-huh.
That's important to have when you're.
Fucking hate ankle socks so much.
But when you wear pumps,
fair.
Your options are nylons or ankle socks that people can't. Not even ankle socks, like the big loop fucking sock things.
Ugh.
Right. But I would rather wear those than not wear socks with my pumps.
True. Yeah.
Because
I think I would wear nylons. I think I would wear stockings.
I do not like wearing nylons. They're constricting to me.
Mm. Very fair.
Which makes sense because that's pretty much their entire job.
Yes.
So good job, nylons. Way to do your job.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't really like nylons. I only wear them when I'm doing dresses and need to have that long leg thing going. Mm. Otherwise, I will find some other alternative.
Sure.
Yeah, so I have those kinds of socks. Then I have the ankle socks or the crew socks that I wear with the boots. And then I have big fuzzy slipper socks that Joe got me, and they keep my feet warm.
Winter socks are fucking awesome.
But, like, big fuzzy ones that I can't even wear with any of my shoes. They're just for wearing in the house.
Change your shoe size?
Yeah.
They're too big.
Yeah.
It's good. All right.
So big and fuzzy.
Question number two. Car or shoe string?
Yeah.
Would you say your lifetime total for fest, costume, and accessory expenditures are closer to the cost of a car being $10,000 or more, or closer to a shoestring budget being $1,000 or less?
Just my costume?
Costume and accessories.
Oh, fuck. 10,000.
Yeah.
Because I got to include. So there's boots. There's swords.
Mm hmm.
Yep. Leather jacks.
Mm hmm.
Do you guys know how much a bodice costs? Because I do.
Quite a bit, yep.
That's a pricey ass fucking piece of costuming.
No, my leather belt is a couple hundred at least. My boots are a couple hundred at least.
Belly dance costumes.
Oh yeah. Oh,
fuck. Yeah. No, definitely.
And then Jenna's got fencing gear. Yeah.
Huh?
And Jenna's got fencing gear. Yeah.
Yeah, just the amount of time that I've spent out there, too, though.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
The sheer years and the costume changes that you've been through.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, the costume changes we've all been through.
Yeah. Right.
I've gone through various characters. Yeah, the boots alone, my first pair of cat skills were $1,000. My second pair of cat skills are $1,500. Or a thousand. Yeah, 1,000 and then 1,500. So I'm already at 250 just on boots.
Yeah.
So.
2,500.
Yeah, that, whatever. 2,500. Okay. 2,500 just on boots.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then my leather belt, even though I made it, still costly. A lot of money because it's a lot of leather.
Yeah. I buy a new pair of boots, I want to say, every 2 to 3 years.
Have you looked into getting Catskills?
I don't know how I feel about them. I don't know. I haven't tried them, but there is something that I really like about the solidity of the boots that I have. I really want big, thunderously heavy, solid boots. And Catskills aren't that. They're really good.
Son of Sandler does have some pretty beefy soled ones.
Okay.
I've got some Son of Sandler.
Yeah.
I have exceptionally thick calves, which can be a little difficult with Son of Sandler.
Sure.
There really is only one pattern you can get when your calves get to a specific point.
Yeah, I've got pretty big calves as well.
Yeah, but and it was my first year last year with them, and it did take a weekend or two to break into them proper. But then after that, when I figured out exactly the right way to lace them and get them adhered to my legs, it was great. It was fantastic. My feet were dry the entire season.
Mm.
And that, I don't think that ever happened to me before.
That is
worth it.
Yeah. I have bucket boots, and they're really good at keeping my feet dry, and they have the solidity and weight. They weigh about 7 or 8 pounds.
Yeah. Is 7 or 8 pounds?
No, it's actually
to figure out like how much of me is in your boots.
Yeah.
Oh, but
right now it's the 10th Jenna.
Yeah. I really if on a day-to-day basis, if I could wear leg armor, just leg armor, a set of like pitcher's greaves, but made out of metal, and then like rock concert boots, the ones that you think of that have like the half inch sole and spikes and shit and buckles and best life.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking, and we've already gone through the boots, but then you've got my boot knife and my belt knife and my bracers and my hat and I
pouches,
think,
shirts,
and
rings, hats.
I made all my own pouches, so that cuts down the cost a lot. But even just on even just on the knives and the gloves and the hat and the bracers, like, we're already at probably close to $10,000 already.
Yeah. You know?
Like, I have written off at least half my sword collection for fascinated activity.
I took a huge loss on taxes this year because of those boots and making no profit. So.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Hmm.
So,
anyway,
I would say I'm closer to 1,000 than I am to 10,000, but it's
so far.
You'll get there, little
but that's so far. Yeah, I've only been out there for 12 years in total, and only 10 years in a row, and a lot of my old equipment still fits me. So, question number 3. Parfait or marshmallow?
Butter.
For -30°F, if you have to leave your house and go outside, Do you dress in several thin layers? Are you a parfait? Or do you wear summer clothes with one or two really thick layers on top of them? Marshmallow.
Okay, number one, I'm calling this one of the deep pull ones because what the fuck? But yeah.
Like, all right.
Get it. I get where you're coming from, but Jesus Christ, that was very that was a trail. That was a journey.
Fair.
I'm okay with it. I think it's great. I'm not trying to, you know, like make you feel bad about it or anything.
No,
that was just like, wow, there's no way I would have gotten that. But number two, you're talking about summer clothes as if I wear things at any point in time of the year that isn't a sweater. So I'm really confused.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think I'm going to go marshmallow because my winter coat is basically a very classy looking sleeping bag.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know.
I
think I'll need a judgment because I just put on a sweater and my wool coat. Is that layers or is that? Huh?
You put on a sweatshirt.
It's got long sleeves. It's a sweater.
Nope. You are incorrect.
I don't care.
I know you don't care, but I do, and this is very important to me.
I still don't know the difference. Anyway, I put on something with long sleeves and a coat. Is that considered layers, or is that considered a marshmallow?
I would say that that's layers, especially if it's a sweatshirt that you would regularly wear around the house, like you are right now.
Yeah. Like,
and if your coat is not like,
I do not have a puffy coat. I just have my wool coat.
Yeah. I would say
so
that's
is that a marshmallow?
I think
I'm
that's
just adding
closer
one
to
thing.
The layers of a parfait. But you're wearing, for example, a t-shirt and then a sweatshirt and then a jacket.
See, here's the way I took it though: is that he's just wearing a t-shirt and a sweatshirt in general all the time. So the only thing he's adding is a jacket.
Is a single layer,
He's not dressing up in multiple layers to go out.
Which
he was
wearing
these layers, and then he only added one more layer to go out.
But the end result is multiple layers versus if you are wearing just
a t-shirt. I want
like
you to read your question again, James.
Okay. For if you are forced to go outside when it is negative 30 degrees Fahrenheit, do you dress in several thin layers or summer clothes with one or two really thick layers?
One or two thick layers.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking
what do you consider thick? Because I consider this to be a thick sweater.
Super puffy jackets or like a fur.
I'm not wearing like a thin
like your wool coat is pretty hefty.
Yeah, it's not like a summer jacket. It's a coat, and the hoodie I'm wearing is not like a jersey knit. It's like the fleece, which I would consider a thick layer. So it would be two thick layers, arguably. Because it did say one or two thick layers.
Yeah. What I'm used to seeing
is different than what came into our heads when you said it.
So for me personally,
and I don't know which is the right context.
Well, right now I'm wearing my traffic is backed up on 169 shirt, my t-shirt underneath. I've got my long sleeve button up shirt over this, and then to go out, I will put on if it's just like negative 20, negative 15, negative 20, like it was today. I'll just put on any pair of pants and boots, and then throw a sweatshirt on, and then put a coat over it. Right?
Yeah.
But if it's like negative 30 and below, I will also add to this an underlayer for my legs, and I will also.
I have another problem with this.
Yeah.
If it's negative 30, I'm not going out.
You're like, there's nothing I need.
It did say if you were forced, but I think I know where James is coming from. And yeah, I will just throw on a coat and whatever I'm wearing, I'll just throw on a coat.
Yeah, I just happen to have a coat that is so warm that I really don't like. I'll make sure like I have a hat and a scarf, things like that. Yeah, I haven't even doubled up my socks this year.
For exceptionally cold days, especially if I'm going to be out a little bit, I will put on long underwear, or I'll put on like exercise, like runner's leggings, tights, something that.
When you talk about going out, though.
Yeah.
Like, if it's negative 30 degrees, if I have to go out, I'm going to my car. And then I'm going from my car to whatever building. I'm still not doubling up on layers for that. Like you're discussing, I'm not putting on my long. I do have long underwear, and I do have leggings that I will wear under things. I use that more when I'm camping.
Yeah, I've got leggings for cold festival days, but
But I don't do that if I'm just going from my place to my car, from my car to a building, from the building to my car, from my car back to my place.
I think my mistake here was in not specifying an amount of time that you have to be outside.
Also,
question.
Not going outside in negative 30 degrees. So,
I think my fault was that I wrote this question.
I think that is our first
problem. I don't think that's a fault. There's nothing wrong with it.
No. I think we're stressing the wrong word. I think the fault is that James wrote the question.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I agree with that. Good. We're all on the same page. Question 4. Arcade or library? When you have an bathroom time, are you more likely to play a phone game or to read a book?
I'm sorry, what?
When you have an bathroom time, are you more likely to play a phone game, to
are
while
you
away?
To say when you're pooping?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watching Salsa's face, number one, just... Watching Salsa not punch James when he says "and bathroom time."
But I actually rewrote it so that it would say that.
But then there's just the confusion of, are you just talking about shitting?
Yeah.
But that's seriously like watching Salsa be like, James, you can say poop.
I rewrote that question specifically for Salsa.
You're allowed to say poop on the podcast.
You're allowed to say shit on this podcast.
Playing games, reading a book.
Yeah,
I'm pooping.
Yeah, but are you playing? Are you playing games or are you reading a book?
I'm shitting.
Does it require all of your focus?
No, it requires 2 minutes of my time.
Not everybody takes a 15-minute shit, James.
I shit and get off the pot, as the saying goes.
It's shit or get off the pot.
I don't know. Sayings are stupid. Okay, let's shit or get off the pot. If you shit, then you can get off the pot. Like, it...
That's a process outline. That's not an either or. No, I understand. I'm there with you, Salsa.
Shitting does not necessitate staying on the pot. Either you are going to do this thing or make room for other people to do it.
I don't understand. It depends on how close
of friends they are.
I don't under... Well, James won't talk to people in the bathroom. We've already established that.
Yes.
Not exactly true. I won't talk to Salsa in the bathroom.
Well, thank God.
But if a stranger stands next to you in a urinal...
Correct.
Okay.
Also, I think that the mark of a strong relationship is being able to talk to somebody that you are dating while you are both in the bathroom and one of you is using it.
Right.
Nope.
Really?
Huh.
That makes a lot of sense from Jenna.
I've never had a relationship where both of us were in the bathroom at the same time and one of us was shitting.
Huh.
I have talked through a door while shitting.
Mm-hmm.
I have... Nope, that's pretty much it.
The bathroom doors in our house just never close.
I think for me, what it is that I was a single mom for much of Jess's childhood.
Sure.
And so if mama goes to the bathroom and closes the door, that's mama's time.
Yeah.
And I get 5 minutes to try to, like, have a goddamn human body doing goddamn human needs. Like,
sure.
That was just the thing. Like, you don't, if mama's in the bathroom, that's, you don't go in there. Mama's busy doing things. So I think that might be a huge part of it for me is that's just my fucking time.
Yeah.
But no, I've been in a lot of like cohabitation relationship type things. I've never been in a place where I've been like, yep, let's go shit together.
I don't think that I could have a serious long-term relationship with somebody if we could not be in the same bathroom while one of us was shitting.
James, we're never going to work. Sorry.
Salsa could have told you that. Like,
yeah, I could have, but I wasn't gonna.
That is a very soft.
Yes, thing. And this is the only reason why. Also, is
yeah, that's it.
Nothing to do with my frustrating, particular, eccentric language or nothing. Yeah, it's yeah. It is. It's definitely the bathroom thing. No, but for me,
I think that's a hard line for me that I didn't know I had until just this moment.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, I think it's not something
I thought about. And I don't think it's something I ever thought I needed to think about. Like, it's one of those things that's just so very instilled with me that I'm like, who the fuck would ever do that? And I don't want to say that the fact that you guys do this is wrong or bad. I just like, it doesn't my reality brain compute.
Yeah.
I'm not. Nope.
Well, like when I have had relationships where I feel that degree of closeness, especially in cohabitative relationships where we're
close to people,
mutual closeness that where I feel like where both of us feel that the other person might be able to use some moral support while they're having a time.
What, do you fucking go in there with pom-poms?
No, but like, sometimes...
Come on, buddy, you can do it.
Sometimes just going in and like...
And
just being like, you doing okay? Should I turn on the fan? Do you need a kiss on the top of the head? Like, that's...
What the fuck are you talking about?
This is horrifying to me. I seriously, if I was pooping,
yeah. Who is having these traumatic shits?
It's not giving birth. And even when I was giving birth, I wanted to get out of the goddamn room. Fucking no. No.
I love that Salsa is drawing the line here, but he will just chat it the fuck up in any bathroom.
Yeah, no, I have no problem chatting in a bathroom, but who is having such a traumatic shit that they need moral support?
Me, apparently.
Like, okay.
No wonder you won't talk to people. They're so traumatic.
It's, oh God.
Oh shit.
No.
So anyway, I like to play games on my phone more often than I... more often than I read a book in the bathroom.
I think I do either in both.
But I guess I do. I read the catalogs that I have in the bathroom.
Usually it's a news article on my phone.
Oh.
Like
I would say that's library.
I think that's my library. But I have also played games, so I think it just doesn't really matter. I mean, I don't normally take a shit so long that that's necessary.
Hmm.
But there are definitely times, especially I have a uterus, I menstruate, and and there are weird shit things that happen surrounding your cycle. So about that time where things are going down, like, yeah. But most of the time I'm just like, well, gonna go in and shit. I shit.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Flush, wash my hands and get out. Like, there isn't really...
Hmm.
James?
I'll play everything.
Is there too much fiber? Not enough fiber?
Start the morning with an entire wicker swing set, but I have been. So
for him, it's the loss of a friend.
There's that. If Salsa is any meter to go by,
and I'm not.
With the quality of my friends,
And I know you take long shits.
Yeah.
Because we've shared a house.
Yeah.
Together. And so I know that you take very long shits, and that's fine. Like, I just assume that you're not trying to pressure your butthole.
Yeah, I don't want to blow out an O-ring.
I assume that, you know, it's a part of your morning 15 minutes. If I don't go inside 15 minutes, maybe it'll happen later. Whatever. Like, I just assume that's a part of your morning routine.
Yeah.
But, like, have you considered your diet?
Less many red times. Meat.
Huh?
Less red meat.
Oh, no, stop considering your diet, James. Just take long shits. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, if the answer is less red meat.
Yeah, no, then I don't want to live. That's the... Right. You gotta...
Yeah.
I'm not willing to make that trade.
Mm-mm.
No.
Yeah, that's fair.
No. So, I guess come to think of it, I guess library for me. I think I read more on my phone, yeah.
Yeah.
Or read catalogs, yeah.
Yeah.
Or my parents had a bathroom joke book, which I think started this terrible down spiral.
Yeah.
I
should put reading material in my bathroom.
Hmm.
Anyway, what else do you have for us, James?
Question number 5. Heads or tails?
Yes.
If you lost a bet at a bar and had to choose, would you get the table a pitcher, beer has a head, or would you get up on stage and tell a story, give them a tail?
This is the other one that...
This is the other one.
Yeah.
Yep. This one's number 2. Mm-hmm. Okay. I would probably go with tail because I don't drink beer. So if I'm getting a pitcher for the table, I'm not going to be able to participate. If I am telling a tale, though, I don't know if you guys knew this about me or not, but I do storytelling from time to time.
The hell you say.
I know. So I would then get to share and interact in that payoff as opposed to just providing the payoff. I'd be fine either way. I don't care, like, whatever. But I think choosing between the two, I would first go for tail.
Sure.
Salsa?
Vivo la Grisha.
Yeah, all right.
Skull.
James?
I would definitely get up on stage and tell a fucking story. I'm the absolute worst. And then I'd probably buy everybody around as well. But
because then you owe them an apology. So,
yes.
Yeah.
That's
you would end up
accurate.
Being a Shaggy Dog.
And well, because they just listen to a Shaggy Dog story for 25
minutes. Me getting up on stage is me losing a bet, but me telling a story up on stage is everyone losing a bet. Against themselves, yeah. It's a dark time. It's the darkest timeline.
Just bring me a beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. That is five.
It is. If you would like to send in a fast five, please send two emails to salsa@aonpodcast.com. You know how this works. Who's got something to give a shout out to?
I do.
Preposition at the end of a sentence. Fuck off.
You're so stupid. You thought a proposition was a word with which to end a sentence.
Such a good one.
I forgot I had that insult.
It's a good one.
Jessica got all my old insults. I have to give her that one.
Real good.
Yeah.
I have one. I would like to give a shout out to Mav and Ro for bringing me into the trivia team, but also they both work their asses off, even when they have no one at their house to do trivia. They are still amazing hosts, and they still just I realized Ro spends almost all of her waking hours on the phone just fucking drilling the trivia phone bank with answers for stuff. Just, yeah, she gets fucking shoulder deep from every direction.
Ah.
Yeah. And I appreciate the hell out of it, out of the two of them. So, thanks to them. Cheers.
Yeah, I'm gonna back that. I'm not even on that team, but like, seriously, people that work the phones for any trivia team, oh my God, those people are incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just fucking are. Because they're number one, they're keeping track of answers they've already submitted.
Mm-hmm.
They're dealing with people shouting different things at them or submitting different things at them, whatever your process is for getting that to them. They keep dialing in. The really good phone people have good dialogue with the trivia phone bank. And they're just like, oh, hey, Smexy Kitten 69, how are you doing today? Are you ready for some more answers? And like, so the really good ones also help keep the mood light for the poor people at the trivia center that are taking all of these phone calls.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Cheers to that. I'm just going to second that one because.
All right.
Otherwise, it was going to be Ninja Kitchen products, and man, now fuck, people get more respect. Cheers.
Salsa.
I'm giving my shout out to mine and our friends' kids, who had a impromptu Valentine's Day exchange.
Aww.
A friend of ours was like, "Hey, you can get 8 packs of little." Like gift bags at Target, and so we all of us got those, and then the kids drew all over the bags and put stickers and candy in the bags, and then we did a drive around and exchange Valentine's bags with all of the kids, and I really appreciate their resilience and ability to adapt to all of the shit going on, and still be able to have things like Valentine's Day with their friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's tough on everyone, but they somehow just seem to bounce back and let it all roll off their backs and keep coming back for more. So.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, who's got something to plug?
Not on a personal level, but you know, I've been just finding other things to plug consistently. And this one's kind of personal. Tomorrow I am going to be picking up a dairy-free cheesecake from Cheesecake and Tarts by Aaron. Mm-hmm. And I am so incredibly excited about this. I talked about her a lot last week, but she was super just down with working with me on all of my dietary stuff. Mm-hmm. And she did, it's super reasonable for incredibly good, well-made cheesecakes and tarts. So yeah, I know that Valentine's Day just happened, but maybe your weekend wasn't as amazing as you were hoping it was going to be, or you need to apologize for forgetting about it entirely. Cheesecake and Tarts by Aaron. I'm going to recommend it, and I will post a link to the profile page for that.
Cool, cool. James?
Nothing this week.
Cool. I also don't have anything, I believe, so. Cool, cool. In that case, are there any final thoughts?
Yes, I would like to say, bye, 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 love you, bye, bye.
All right,
bye,
thank
bye.
You so very much to everybody for listening to this podcast. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake. Or cheesecake, or tart.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.